Okay, so we'll... This moment. Okay, anyway, let's start. This morning, we discussed about how to practice mindfulness in our daily life, And then maybe if you want to know how to cultivate your mindfulness through your daily activities, you know, maybe Thich Nhat Hanh is the best teacher. Okay. So, if you want to learn how to develop mindfulness through your activities in your daily life, then Thich Nhat Hanh, Vietnamese Zen monk, he might be the best teacher, or, you know. So, and Anita said, Anita told me that sometimes you are reading his books, you know. So, maybe it's good. Like his books, Present Moment, Wonderful Moment, you know. It's a collection of gathas.
Miracle of mindfulness.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful book.
Yes, yes. But the Present Moment, a Wonderful Moment, you know, they are collection of, they are the collection of gatha. So, before your each activities, like brushing teeth, you know, I told you, you know, now you read a gatha. Brushing my teeth, rinsing my mouth, I will speak purely and sanely. When my mouth smells fragrant, a flower blooms in my heart, or something like that. Not precise, you know. So then, suddenly, the meaning of brushing your teeth changes completely, you know. Then, like brushing your teeth, you are not just washing your like a dirty mouth or dirty teeth, you know. But actually, you are washing your mouth. It means you are washing your speech itself. You know, that's why, like brushing your teeth, actually you are purifying your speech itself. Or we can say, we try to purify our speech. And brushing teeth reminds me of this one. Then, brushing teeth is one of the meditation. So there are many, many gathas like that in this present moment, a wonderful moment, you know. So then you can put like a small gatha, brushing my teeth, rinsing my mouth, that kind of gatha in your bathroom, you know. So then, each time when before you brush your teeth, you can see this gatha, you know, and you might read or you recite, you know, like that. And definitely, please change your way of eating, you know. This book also is offering lots of gatha, which you read before meals, like that. Then meaning of means, way of means, will be totally different. Then, and asked me, she's a wife and mother, what should I do with my family, you know? Because, of course, most of you are living with other people, with their partner, with their parents, or with their children, like that. You cannot practice by yourself, you know? And you are practicing yourself, but other members of your family are doing different things, you know. It's also not so good, you know. But you cannot force your partner, your children, or your parents, you know. you should imitate me. You cannot say that. You know. But point is, if you yourself can become a happy mother, happy husband, then your partner will be also happy. Then they will ask you, why are you so happy recently? You used to be so miserable and very, you know, very short-tempered, like that. Then you can explain what kind of practice you are doing right now, you know, and this practice has brought me this kind of calm mind, happy mind, like that. Then your partner might be interested in this kind of activities, you know, because your relationship with your partner is so close and so important, and of course with the children, with your parents, you know. So like that, you know, we can't live by ourselves. We have to live with always with our families, you know. So then, but if you can involve them, it will be so nice, you know. So please think this point, you know, not only just practicing mindfulness by yourself, but also you have to invite your family members. This is extremely important. Then your family meals, you know, you eat breakfast, lunch, supper together. Maybe not all three, but maybe one or two times, you know. Then your meal time will be very practical at time. Because I don't know Indian situation, but in Japan, now everyone is so busy, you know. Then people are eating individually. You know, people don't eat together, you know, family members, you know. Because husband are going home, returning to home very, very late, you know. And kids, children have their own business, you know, their own, you know. So they don't sit together like that. But it's really not good, you know. So, you know, but in India, you know, for you, value of family is so important. So that's why value of eating together is also important. You know? Then if you can change this eating together as an opportunity of practicing mindfulness, then you are all the members of your family can really practice mindfulness, and it will be very, then your family will be very happy, happy family. So please practice more practically, you know, like that. Because if I practice just by myself and I don't know other people, you know, it's not so good, you know. Okay. And also, you know, because also, you know, some Dharma practitioners have not so good tendency, you know, like they have already problems with their families, you know, with their parents, partner, or children, anyway, you know. And they're so isolated, you know. Then they concentrate on Dharma practice, but ignoring other family members, you know. Then they think of emptiness or like that, you know. But their knowledge of emptiness is developing, but their relationship with their partner or children or parents has never improved, you know. Then what's the purpose of practicing Dharma? It's meaningless, really meaningless, you know. So, good practitioner or not, but it's so obvious, you know, if you can improve your relationship with your family members, then you can be called good practitioner. But you yourself think, oh, I'm a very good practitioner because I'm always going to Dharma talks or Dharma meetings or retreats or like that. But if you are relationship with your partner or with your family members doesn't improve, then you have to think of the meaning of your practice again and again. You know? This is the basic. You know? Because sometimes Buddhism, you know, like people love so much about very sophisticated philosophy or like that, you know. But of course Buddhism offers, you know, extremely sophisticated philosophy of emptiness or like that, you know. But for us, more practical thing is much more important, you know. Just improving our relationship with our partner or with parents or children or schools, co-workers, you know, or classmates, you know, it's much, much important, you know. So, only then you can really understand Buddhist philosophy or like that, because this is a base. And if you ignore your base, then your practice will not develop at all, okay? Okay, so this is my point, okay? Then, today, this afternoon, as I promised this morning, we have to understand the meaning of mindfulness very clearly, you know. So then, now we are practicing Anapanasati, mindfulness of Anapana, mindfulness of in-breath, out-breath, you know. The oldest text for Anapanasati is, of course, Anapanasati Sutta in Pali language, you know. This is one of the most important Pali texts, you know. So you can find the translation very easily, you know. But I recommend this, again, Thich Nhat Hanh's book, Breathe, You Are Alive, you know, Sutra on the full awareness of breathing. You know? In this book, he translated Pali text into English, and of course he gave a very precise, very clear explanation about this sutta. And in this sutta, Buddha is talking about Anapanasati. Well, of course, not only Anapanasati, but he talks about many other things, you know. But this is one of the best books if you want to learn Anapanasati. Okay?
Excuse me, what's the title of the book?
Okay, once again, Breathe, You Are Alive.
Breathe, You Are
Alive. Alive.
The same, it's Thich Nhat?
Thich Nhat Hanh, yeah, Thich Nhat Hanh, yes. So then, this morning, you know, we discussed about the true meaning of mindfulness, or superficial meaning of mindfulness, you know, because like Anapanasati, you know, everyone already knows what is Anapanasati. It's very simple, and actually in this sutra they say, breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out. You know? But already I explained about my Korean friends' experience, you know, and also many meditators' experience itself, you know. So looks like a breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out, is so simple and seems like, yes, I can do it, you know. People usually think like that, you know. But actually, if you really try to do it, you will find it extremely difficult, you know. And sometimes, yes, as he said, you know, people have a facial tension and mental tension, like that, and some people actually sometimes they might harm their stomach, you know. some people actually suffer from stomach ache or like that. And of course everyone knows, you know, why do we have a stomach ache here? Because of course physical tension caused by our mental tension, you know? Because when we get very tense, of course we, this part of body get tense, you know, like that. Then usually, like that. Okay? Then that's why we really have to understand the meaning of true mindfulness. Okay? Then in this sutra, it's so obvious. It's so obvious. Then what does the Buddha say in this Buddha, in this sutra? You know, Buddha shows like four objects of mindfulness. Maybe already you know it, no? What's a four, you know? One, kaya. Kaya is a body. Okay? The second, vedana. You know, vedana is like a feeling. You know, more like an emotion. You know? Third is like a citta. You know? Citta is like a mind. Okay? The fourth is like a dhamma. Dhamma is an object of mind. So then, it's obvious about myself and outside something which exists outside of myself. So we just all things, then everything should be the object of our mindfulness. Okay? Then, now, then what does Buddha say, you know? He said, we have to observe body in the body, kaya in the body, kaya in the kaya, body in the body, you know? And we have to see, we have to observe vedana in vedana. It means emotion or feeling in emotion, our feeling. And we have to observe citta or mind in citta or mind. And we have to observe dhamma or dharma, object of our mind, in dhamma or object of our mind. No? It's so obvious, you know, but for a long time I didn't hear any clear explanation of this body in body, you know, vedana in vedana, feelings, citta in citta, you know, and dhamma in dhamma. Some teacher says, you know, you have to really watch your body, your mind very carefully. This is the meaning of body in body. But actually much deeper than that. Okay? So it means if we look at ourselves, yes, it obviously we have a physical body. And it obviously we have a emotion. And it obviously we have a mind, our thinking mind. So these are three main components, right? Then of course outside of myself, you know, and many other things exist. So that's why in total four, you know. Then these four, we should be very mindful. But also, this order is very important. First, body. Second, emotion. And third, citta. Then last, dhamma. You know, this order is very important. Why? Because sometimes, you know, meditation teacher immediately tell students, yes, you should watch your mind, you know, you should watch your mind. But very often, students start to think of their mind. Student starts to analyze their mind, like a psychiatrist are doing, or like that. because they are not sure about the real meaning of observing mind, you know. So that's why I personally I don't teach how to observe. I mean, I don't say you should observe mind immediately, because I know if I say please observe your mind, I know that you are going to think of your mind. That's it, you know. So you cannot observe your mind because you are not so sure about the true meaning of observing your mind. You know? So that's why this order is so important. And Buddha, it means Buddha first recommend you should watch your kaya. It means your body. Okay? But even so, already we discussed yesterday a lot, you know. Some people, okay, after this we are practicing again observation of our body sensation, but some honestly said they never felt body sensation as clearly as they did yesterday. And of course, I talked with so many so-called Vipassana practitioners, you know, but they never told me about their real experience, true experience, or direct experience of body sensation, you know. Then, so even they choose body or kaya as an object of mindfulness, but still they miss the point, you know. Choosing kaya as an object of mindfulness is right, and actually Buddha himself recommends this, you know. But if we don't know how to observe our body, then again we miss the point, you know. Then, okay, now we have to discuss about how to observe our body again, no? But just a moment. And body and now emotion and mind, you know, then what kind of relationship body, emotion and mind? Why emotion is between body and mind? And of course you know that, you know, because what is your emotion? Where do you feel emotion? You know, it's obviously you feel emotion just between your body and mind, right? You know, because when you are angry, how do you become angry? Do you become angry only in your head? No, you know, you feel very dark, you know, very dark energy is rising in your body itself. It's like a very dark energy. It's not just only mental, you know. Of course, when you are angry, lots of mental things are going on. You know, mental thoughts, angry thoughts, like that. But also, it's not just a pure mental, you know, but you can also feel very dark, aggressive energy is coming up in your body. And when you are depressed, how do you become depressed? Only your mind becomes depressed? No, you know? When you become depressed, very dark, heavy energy is arising in your body, you know? So that's why you become, not only your mind becomes depressed, your body becomes depressed too, you know, like that. And in each language, you know, it might be Hindi, must be like that, and English, and in Japanese also, we have so many expressions to describe our emotion by using like a metaphor of our body, you know? Like in Japanese, we say, like when we become furiously angry, we say, our intestine is like a boiling, you know, like that. What does it mean? Because very dark flame is on and on, you know, when we become angry. You know, so like that, so we experience our emotion like a sort of like a very physically. But our emotion is not 100% physical, but it's also, of course, it has a mental, more mind aspect also. Okay? So that's why emotion is just between body and mind. Okay? Then mind, you know, lots of thinking mind, like that. Sorry. Okay, so then, anyway, then Buddha said, you should observe these four things, body, emotion, and mind, it's myself, and something outside of myself, these four. Okay? But, still we don't understand, you know, because then it's just analyzing, you know, analyze our body, emotion, and our citta, our mind, and other things. If so, it's, then many people actually doing it. You know, doctors, they are always analyzing our body, you know, psychiatrists, you know, psychologists, counselors, they are always checking, analyzing your emotion and your mind, you know, like that. So, then, what's a, how different from, okay, such a point is Buddhist mindfulness approach is how different from just ordinary psychological or psychiatric approach, you know? Then it's completely different, completely different. Why? Because usually, how do we analyze things in ordinary way? Usually, I am observer, and there's a object of my observing, you know? So I observe a glass of water. I observe despair, you know? And I observe my hand is okay or not, you know, like that. So what does it mean? It means always object and subject are different, you know. So it means very dualistic, you know, like that. So now we are just observer, we are just a pure subject. And outside of us, there are many kind of object of our observation. Can be our body, you know, can be our emotion, can be our own mind, you know, and also maybe like that. Then is this mindfulness, or kinds of mindfulness? Absolutely no, absolutely no, you know. So because if you don't really understand this point, you know, this is not mindfulness. This is not observation, Buddhist observation, you know. Because if just I observe my mind like that, so it doesn't have to be Buddhist observation, because many Western psychologists, they are doing it already, you know. And doctors, you know, they are constantly observing patient body, you know. Then doctors are doing vipassana? No, they are not. They are doing only just medical checking, like that. And psychology, they are doing vipassana of mind? No, they are not doing vipassana of mind. They are just analyzing. Then how different? How different? What kind of difference is there between Buddhist mindfulness and scientific observation? Like that. Okay. If you don't really understand this point, then maybe for you, Buddhist mindfulness and scientific observation might be just the same, you know, like that. Then, no, because Buddhism, you know, is analyzing things very, very carefully, you know, no, much more detailed than Western psychology, you know. Maybe you might say that, you know, and maybe it's true, you know, because I don't know whether you are familiar with Buddhist psychology. It's called Abhidharma, like that, you know. They analyze our mind incredibly with, like a scrutinizing, you know, and analyze, you know, categorize, so many categories like that, you know. So then, Buddhist analysis of mind is much more detailed than Western psychology. That's why it's different. No, that kind of difference is nothing, you know, because there's an extremely important difference. Then, let's listen to our Buddha. What did he say? We have to observe our body in our body. We have to observe our emotion in our emotion. We have to observe our mind in our mind. What does it truly mean? We really have to understand this true meaning. And I have never heard any clear explanation about this. Because then now I can say that clear understanding, clear explanation is like this. It's so obvious, okay? We have to first enter into our body. We have to enter into our emotion. We have to enter into our mind at first. What does it mean? Can we enter into our body with our thinking mind? Can we enter into our emotion with our thinking mind? Absolutely no. Why? Because if we enter into our body with our thinking mind, we cannot. Why? Because thinking mind is a mind of discrimination, you know. Our thinking mind is always divide things into two. How? Object and subject, you know. If our thinking mind is functioning, then thinking mind is subject. The object of our thinking mind is just object. So it means always our thinking mind divide, you know. So that's why with your thinking mind, you can never enter into your body, you know. If your thinking mind is functioning, you have to stay outside of body. This is a characteristic of your thinking mind. You understand? Then, what does Buddha mean by saying we have to observe body in the body, emotion in the emotion, mind in the mind? It means Buddha is saying you have to let go of your thinking mind. That is very clear, right? You know? Okay, I repeat, you know, our thinking mind is always very dualistic. This is a characteristic of our thinking mind, you know. Dualistic means subject and object is totally different. So that's why if you have a thinking mind, you cannot enter into body, emotion, mind. Only when you let go of your thinking mind, finally you can enter into your body. Finally you can enter into your emotion and mind itself. Why? Because there is no more this discriminating function. No more this dualistic one. You know? Like that. Then what happens? Okay, now you already let go of your thinking mind. Then you are in the body. You are in the emotion. You are in the citta. Then, did you become unconscious? No, you didn't. You have a much clearer awareness. You have much clearer understanding. But without any thinking mind. You know? This is the essential point of mindfulness. Okay? Then, it's so obvious. Then, who is mindful? You know? Then we have to ask a fundamental question. You know? Who is mindful? Or who is observing things? Or who is doing vipassana? You know? This is the most important question in vipassana. You know, how to observe vipassana, how to observe our body sensation from the top of the head or from the hand, they are not so important at all. You know? This is just a technique, you know? Nothing important. A little bit important, but not so much, you know? But the more important thing is, most important question in vipassana is very simple. You know, okay, so if you meet any vipassana teacher, please ask him like this. Who is doing vipassana? This is the most important question. Please ask them, you know? Then, answer is very simple. It's not you. It's not you. Or it's not your old identity. It's not your ordinary thinking mind. Okay? This is the most important point in vipassana meditation. But I didn't hear any explanation of this, or a very vague, unclear explanation, you know. That's why many people get confused. You know, that's why now I'm giving you this clear explanation, you know. So, then, okay, now I ask, who is doing vipassana? Then at least I can say, it's not you. It's not your thinking mind. It's not your old identity who is doing vipassana. Because your old identity, your thinking mind cannot do vipassana. Why? Because your thinking mind is very dualistic. Discriminating subject and object. That's why you can never, your thinking mind can never enter into body, emotion, and mind, which Buddha demands us to do that. It means your thinking mind can never do what Buddha demands us to do. Okay? Then it's so obvious. Then, now I can say, at least your mind, it's not your mind, it's not your thinking mind, it's not your old identity who is doing the vipassana. Then, but still I have not answered this question. Then who is doing vipassana? You know? Then maybe from yesterday's talk, maybe we can say it's, of course, it's your new identity, like that. But this, your new identity is just new. It means you are not familiar with this new identity, or even you didn't know that this new identity exists, because you know only old identity, that's it. Okay? So, that's why from the beginning, everything is so clear. You know, well, you know, Anapanasati Sutta is the first sutra. You know, this one and Satipatthana Sutta, these two are first meditation sutra. given by our Lord Buddha. You know? Then from the beginning, Buddha demands us, yes, you should throw away your thinking mind, then you should enter into your body, your emotion, your mind. Then he demands us to observe. So it's obviously, what is he saying? He is saying, you should throw away your old identity, and with your new identity, you should observe things. You know? So this observing is of course vipassana. So that's why we can do vipassana only with our new identity. You know, this is not my idea. This is the Buddha's idea, you know, like that. But unfortunately, this point, old identity, new identity, who is doing vipassana, has not yet been explained clearly enough. You know, that's why many so-called vipassana practitioners, they got confused. And they try to observe their body sensation with their thinking mind. Then then they just imagined, or they just thought of their thinking mind without feeling any calmness like that. Okay? So now it's obvious. Okay? So that's why, you know, because some people vipassanize some kind of analytical meditation or insight meditation, as though like we are thinking of something, and then usually we think meditation is just no mind, you know, but vipassana meditation is using analysis or analytical things, you know, but it's not true. And of course, vipassana is not like becoming like just wow, unconscious, not like that, you know. But we have very clear awareness, and we are also observing very clearly about what is really going on in our body, in our emotion, in our mind. Of course, we are very aware of everything, but not with our thinking mind. This is the most important point. Okay, so then what happens? Okay. Now we enter into our body, okay, and then we are observing our body, not with our thinking mind, not with our old identity, but with our new identity, with our clear awareness. That's it? Then what happens to us? Then Buddha said, you should overcome your attachment and your anger. You know? But then, why suddenly overcoming our attachment or anger? Or why observing things? Why vipassana can bring us overcoming of our attachment or anger, you know? We have to clearly understand, you know? Then, before that, we have to understand what is attachment or what is anger, you know? Attachment, anger, you know, like you already learned three poisons, you know? Attachment, anger, and ignorance. You know, these are three poisons. Okay? Then we have to, as a Buddhist, we have to really overcome three poisons. No? But not only Buddhists, you know. Of course, these three are poisons for everyone as a human being. You know, too much attachment, too much anger, and ignorance, of course. Okay? So then, this morning, yesterday, we talked about monsoon or bad weather. And monsoon or bad weather or just raining or wind, you know, they are just natural phenomena. So we cannot say it's good or bad. It's raining. How come we can say this is bad? It's just raining, you know. It's a natural phenomena. It's just a neutral fact, you know. But for you, it's bad. For your eyes, looks like a bad weather is bringing you misery, depression, like that. I'm depressed, I'm miserable because of bad weather. And you strongly believe bad weather exists objectively. But I'm sorry, it does not. You know, it does not. What exists objectively? Only just rain, only wind, only lightning exists. It's true. They exist objectively. But they are not bad. But who made it bad? It's you. It's us. You know, our mind made just a neutral weather bad, you know. How did we do that? By saying no to it. We don't like it. And we say no to this just raining. Rain is just water is falling down from the sky. This is a natural phenomenon. It's nothing to do with the good and bad. But our mind says no to this natural phenomena, and suddenly this becomes bad weather. Then who made bad? It's your mind. It's our mind. How? By saying no to this. Like that. Okay? Then, okay, this is a hatred or anger. Attachment is just opposite, you know. Now it's sunny, you know, it's warm, blue sky. But blue sky is just blue sky. It's again natural phenomenon. And it's very sunny, it's just sunny, you know, it's just natural phenomenon. But we say, oh, very good weather. I love it, this weather, you know. Who said good? It's your mind again, you know. It's your mind. So, who decides good and bad? Of course, our mind. By saying no, or by saying yes, I love it, you know, like that. Okay? Then, now we are coming to the conclusion. Okay? Because, you know, weather or anything just happening by itself, water is falling down from the sky to the earth. And you cannot say this is bad. And the sun is shining, that's it. You cannot say this is good. You know? But our mind said no and yes. And our mind strongly believed this is a bad weather, this is a good weather. And we have anger, hatred toward bad weather, and we have attachment to good weather. You know? Like that. So it means good and bad are just a product of our thinking mind itself. You know? So that's why now we are doing vipassana. How we are doing vipassana? we are doing vipassana only after letting go of our thinking mind. You know? So it means when we are in the body, in emotion or in mind, and we are observing body, emotion, mind, we are doing vipassana, then at that time, our thinking mind has already dropped. And our thinking mind, it was thinking mind which produced bad and good, and which produced and anger toward something bad, attachment toward something good, you know? So that's why, by letting go of our thinking mind, we can also let go of our anger and attachment. So it means when we are doing vipassana, already we are overcoming our attachment and anger. And you already know it. Why? Because when you are observing your body sensation, did you have attachment or anger? No. You could not. You did not. You know? You just felt just content, just quietness, just calmness, just peace, just joy. But you didn't have any attachment, any anger while you are observing, while you are doing vipassana, while you are in the body, in the emotion, in the mind, like that. Okay? So, like some, you know, people think, yes, by doing vipassana, yes, I'm observing things, you know, and I'm saying, yes, anger is producing lots of bad results, so that's why I have to throw away anger. Actually, it's not like that, you know. You know that everyone knows anger is producing lots of unhappiness, you know, but still we couldn't stop our anger, you know. We couldn't stop our attachment, even though we know attachment is also producing lots of suffering later on, you know. But we still could not stop our attachment. But now we can. Now we can really stop our attachment, our anger, by doing vipassana. But doing vipassana doesn't mean first we analyze good and bad and finally, okay, throw away. Not like that. Because when you are doing vipassana, already at that time, your anger and attachment are gone. Because before you start vipassana, your thinking mind has already dropped, and with your thinking mind, anger and attachment has also dropped. Because anger and attachment are a product of your thinking mind. That's why. Okay, clear? That's it. So, this is the meaning of why our vipassana meditation can really purify our own mind. You know? So it means if we use a word like old room and new room, old dimension or a new dimension, it's obvious, right? We can do vipassana only in our new room, new dimension. But our mistake was we tried to do vipassana in our old room because we thought vipassana is just observing, right? Yes, yes, I can observe, you know, observe, observe. But even though, even if you observe things, nothing happened. Why? Because you are observing in your old room. It means you are observing things in a still dualistic world, subject and object. And the Buddha completely negated. You have to enter into your body, emotion, mind. It means no dualistic, no division between subject and object. Okay? That's it. So, So that's why it's not like a by practicing vipassana, and little by little we can purify our own defilement. It's not like that. We can do vipassana only in the second or in the new dimension where our defilement that cannot exist. You know? So then, what does it mean? But still we can say, we can purify our defilement by doing vipassana. To a certain degree, yes, it's true. It's right. You know? Then what does it mean? It means, because we have been living always in this old dimension. But now, little by little, this new dimension is appearing. We are becoming familiar with our new dimension, you know? Then, little by little, change will happen in your mind, you know? Because while you are in old dimension, you could never avoid your anger and attachment. You know, it's impossible. It's not because you are lazy or like that. As long as you are in the old dimension, you cannot avoid anger and anger and attachment. Because you have a thinking mind. Thinking mind cannot avoid attachment and anger. No? Because it's thinking mind who is producing attachment and anger, you know. But little by little, you know, you are getting used to your new dimension. That's why it means you are little by little throwing away your old habit of creating attachment and anger. Okay, and also some anger or some negative emotion are already accumulated a lot, you know. But by doing vipassana, little by little, you are becoming more and more familiar with new dimension, you know. So that's why this creating anger, creating attachment, this power of creation is becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. Okay? So by doing this little by little, you can really purify your mind, or we can say you can really purify your habitual tendency, you know? Okay, so then now you understand what is the vipassana meditation and how to do it, you know? Then you understand the result of vipassana meditation. Okay. Okay. Then after break, you know, we do simple yoga again. Reiko will teach you. And then let's practice kaya nupassana. Kaya nupassana means kaya is body and nupassana is observation. You know? So vipassana of our body sensation. Let's do it. Okay.